Let's hear from Mr. Chris Crotwell. I love the shirt. This is fucking fancy.
Hi, everybody. About 5.5 years ago, I went backpacking with two friends in the Sipsey Wilderness in Alabama. And just for context, the Sipsey Wilderness is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It's almost tacky. It's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. These are the sorts of vistas that even Thomas Kincaid wouldn't try to jam a fucking cottage into. Just wouldn't. It's like zippity-doo-dah, like cartoon singing birds and assorted small mammals. Beautiful. It's amazing. And I loved going there. And I love backpacking. I'm really passionate about it as a hobby. We were going to be out for about 6 days. And just to explain what backpacking means when I say backpacking, you've got about a 55 to 70 pound pack, and you try to walk 7 to 10 miles a day. You plot out a route, and it's all about being in motion. But this is sort of what the cycle of it's like. You set up camp, you go to sleep, you wake up, you get high, like really high. First thing. Immediately, just get super high. And then you take down camp, which takes way longer than you think it should. For some reason, that tent is fucking complicated. And you eat some food, and then you, like, you get up, and then you get high again, and then you walk. Like, you walk, like, 5 miles, and you stop, and you have lunch, and you marvel at the wonder of nature, and then you get high again, and then you walk. And marvel at the wonder of nature, and for the rest of the week, unless you're around a campfire trying to see how many lyrics to Billy Joel songs you can remember, you're just staring at how beautiful the world is, sort of exhausted and in motion. It slows your brain down and gives you a way to process how magnificent this space is. And where we were headed, or the last stop on our route, was the largest tree in Alabama. It's a yellow poplar. It's about 150 feet high and has about a 25-foot circumference. And that's no California redwood, but it's an admirable arboreal specimen, certainly. It's an impressive tree. But what's great about this tree is not just the tree, it's where it is. So it's in this grotto full of giant moss-covered boulders. And the reason it's had a chance to get as big as it is because it's in a giant half-semicircle cliff face with a fucking waterfall on either side. So it's just this giant magic tree in, like, a grotto of moss-covered boulders with a waterfall on both sides. You feel like if you snuck up on it, just like Pan would be hanging out with a bunch of sexy women in like diaphanous white dresses, and everyone's playing lutes and like singing and eating mysterious fruit off gilded trays. It's just amazing. So we spent all morning there doing exactly what you'd imagine, just laying on my back, being so happy to be in this incredible place, and really high, so high. And so when we go to leave, we take a turn, and maybe it's because we're all so relaxed, but we wander straight off the trail, and we don't realize we've done this for hours. And by the time we realize we're lost, we are fucking lost. Like, really lost. And now there's cliffs everywhere. We're like walking on a 35 degree grade with our packs. There's just a sheer drop there. And the compass we realized was sticking after about another 3 hours. So we'd been walking on the wrong bearing. So the map didn't even mean anything anymore. We're really out there. We're out of food now because this was the last day. We were headed back to the car. So we haven't eaten since that lunch. And it starts getting dark, and we realize we're screwed, so we have to get in touch with someone, because we need help. This is not something we can solve on our own anymore. All of our phones are dying, so it's all crackly. I can't get a hold of anyone, but eventually, I get one scream sentence out that apparently my wife can understand. Just one sentence, and it's like, so, so, so lost, police. And that's all. That's it. And like, then my phone died, and we're all like, "Well, we're screwed." So we don't think anyone's coming to help us, and we just decide we have to sleep because we're spent. But the police did get their message. What they do when that happens is they take a police car and they put them on 2 points near the trail on the road where they think you might be, and they just blare their sirens to give you auditory points to help navigate your subway out. And when we start hearing sirens, we're like, okay. So we throw on our packs, and we're booking it through unbroken country in the middle of the night with just shitty flashlights. And we eventually, the sirens go away. The sirens are just gone. And it's because the police just drove off because they didn't think we were going to make it. And they didn't know whether or not we had flashlights. They didn't want us moving at night. So we finally end up in just a parking lot at the end of the trailhead. But we can't sleep there. And my two friends are too tired, so they can't keep going. So I put down my pack, and I run down a country road for what felt like hours and hours and hours. When I start to give up hope, I came up on a house. And right when I started to get really excited that there was a house, all the hope dropped out of the bottom of me. Because it was this giant, terrifying fence with a giant sign on the front that said, Gulf War Veteran. And inside of the fence was just a giant lot for lots of like rural detritus, like caravans and old cars and washing machines and giant pigs. Like, 8 giant pigs. But I couldn't leave my friends out there, so I scaled the fence. I hopped over, terrified and exhausted, but about to pass out from lack of calories or water or sleep or hope. And I get over the fence, and I run up to his door, and he's like, oh, you must have gotten lost. Because this happens to him like 6 times a year. Some terrified kid comes up to his door like, help me, please. And I went in, and I realized he's a hoarder. And his whole house is, every square inch is covered with just every sort of sheet you could possibly imagine, up to the ceiling. And he's in the living room with his two kids who are sleeping on cots in the living room. But he brings me in, we call the cops, and then they say they can't be at his house for another 35, 40 minutes. So he gave me some water, and we sat on the couch. And he looks at me, and he says one of the most memorable sentences of my entire life. He looks at me and says, do you like to catch a predator? And I was like, yeah, I sort of do. Like, it's a fascinating show. So I sat on the couch with a Gulf War veteran and watched 2 episodes back-to-back of Catch a Predator. Having some sort of banner you'd expect to have, like, oh, wow, you know, why do they keep going to this house? You know they watch this show. And the point of that is that I enjoyed every second of that. I loved that. I loved being lost. I loved all of it. And I'm a shitty navigator. Like, in my actual life, I'm awful at getting around or making decisions or having direction or goals. I'm a shitty navigator. But it's okay because I love being lost.
Thank you, Chris. You have the wildest experience.